Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Keeping It Real Fridays here on the Dadon Tolbert Show. I am your host, Dadon Tolbert. Good to be back live tonight. I was instructed by someone or advised by someone that it had been about a week since we were last live. I'm like, wow, I didn't realize that it was, that it had been so long. But we're back live tonight to talk about a lot of different things. Got a lot of catching up to do on this evening. First topic at hand, we're going to be talking about what you guys saw advertised, is everything that's going on with Stacey Dash. We want to talk about race relations in America a little bit tonight. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on as far as this whole war between Democrats and Republicans and black versus white, the rich versus poor, and just how we, a lot of hypocrisy that exists in the black community surrounding voting and just, you know, equality and class and, you know, and all those types of things. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in regards to her new position with Fox News. So there's that. A lot of things going on in the news, a lot of things in regards to sports, entertainment, the government, us as far as being out there with wars. So definitely have a lot to talk about. Also this evening we want to do a recap, a little, review of this week's emotional availability pop quizzes. Over the last several weeks we've been doing a lot more of them, and it's funny, man, I take a lot of stuff for granted. I think that, certain stuff is just kind of understood, but I'm finding that, doing these types of reviews is really appreciated by a lot of women, and, a lot of women have been reaching out privately as well as many publicly, saying, like, wow, thanks for kind of going over this stuff, whether it's dating, how to know certain things, how to conduct yourselves in a certain situations to, avoid, hopefully have the best result when dealing with different men. So definitely look out for more of those in the future, and anytime we're live, we'll definitely go through them. What else? Courtney's here with me tonight. Courtney, I'm excited. I'm excited. It's been a little minute. You know how we get. Courtney, what's going on with you? Good tonight?
Yes, I am. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, man. You excited about tonight's show? We got a lot to discuss this evening.
Of course I am. I'm always excited. Always.
But, no, that's just because you can be psycho sometimes. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I'm not sure that has anything to do with tonight's show.
That could play a role.
You know. All right. Well, yeah, so I'm excited, though. Let me ask you this just to start out. Are you a fan of Stacey Dash? Like, did you grow up watching her and, kind of liking her? Not liking her like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I never had an issue with her. I wouldn't say I'm a fan, but I don't have anything negative to say about her. She's cool.
Okay, she's cool, all right. We'll talk about Stacey Dash in a little bit, man. I can't wait to get into it. But first, I want to just start today off just by saying a big thank you to everyone in the armed forces, whether it's the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, just everything, Air Force, National Guard, whatever you do, even the police and fire departments, around the country who daily put their lives on the line and take a risk for us to be safe and, to feel comfortable where we are. Happy Memorial Day to everybody, who celebrated that. And, I said online that I may not always agree with the politics behind certain decisions, certain, situations that we as a nation find ourselves in, but I definitely appreciate the sacrifice. I definitely appreciate what you guys do out there, from a personal standpoint, Like, that takes a lot, and it's unfortunate that we have government officials who, based on their agenda, we'll put the lives of innocent civilians, I shouldn't say innocent civilians, but like soldiers who are in the military who, in certain positions where they could be potentially put in harm. But nevertheless, politics aside, we definitely appreciate the support. Did you do anything? Did you celebrate Memorial Day this weekend, Courtney?
Yes, I did. I went to a barbecue, hung out, with some family members. And then just like you said, I was just thinking about those who actually, you know, just really just served our country. And, you know, and I thought about my father, you know, he fought in Vietnam. So I thought about my dad as well. So.
Wow, man, that's great. My father fought in Vietnam also. You know, shout out to him. He doesn't talk about it a lot, but my father-in-law, who passed away a few years ago, fought in Vietnam. My brother actually passed away and was killed in, you know, in action over in, you know, well, he was doing some behind-the-scenes types of things, but was killed in the, you know, in a helicopter crash. So, you know, it's a lot of different people who are out there who have been affected by, you know, war and, you know, tragedy. So just continue to pray for leadership. You know what I'm saying? I definitely don't support the president or, you know, the agenda of this country globally, internationally, but still, as we are instructed to do, you know, pray for our government, pray for our leaders, you know, to make decisions that will affect us all ultimately and the outcome of, you know, how things end up playing out, you know what I mean? So there's that. Another huge loss this week, guys, you know, we lost a true soldier, you know, in the fight, a warrior, you know, and I say that, you know, with all respect, you know, a poet, an author, a civil rights activist, a mentor, a leader, a role model. Now, people want to talk about role models. You know, people want to talk about influential, somebody who needed to be on the cover of a magazine. If I, and don't you know, be mad if I'm incorrect, but I don't believe, and I could be wrong, but I don't believe and I don't remember ever seeing Maya Angelou on the cover of Time magazine. Do you, Courtney?
No.
Now this is like mind blowing right here, because we did a whole show on Hollywood. We did a show on Beyonce. We've talked about the government. You know, we've talked about the entertainment industry and how they are often intertwined to further a certain certain agenda. And I mean, you have one of the greatest leaders, the greatest, you know, role models, the greatest influences that the world, certainly the black community, has ever seen, but really the world has ever seen, you know, in Maya Angelou. And, you know, and this is someone who, you know, has never made it on the cover of Time magazine, which is really telling, you know what I mean, and when we look at the grand scheme of things. But we lost a great soul, someone who I, you know, funny thing is, like, when you have parents who care, you know what I'm saying, like parents who are aware, parents who are passionate about, you know, making sure that their kids are, you know, actually educated and aware of our roots and where we come from and our culture and what's really important. You know, I grew up, you know, learning about people like Maya Angelou and Sonia Sanchez and, you know, Frederick Douglass, Paul Robeson, you know, like the arts, you know what I'm saying, Dorothy Dandridge, Josephine Baker, you know what I mean? Like a lot of the people who really paved the way from an entertainment standpoint and really fought for us as a people to be taken seriously in entertainment. You know, a lot of the stuff you see now that people just kind of get up there and do whatever they want to do, looking crazy, acting buffoonish, they're only allowed to do that, you know, because, you know what I mean, somebody came before. Even Step and Fetch It. You know, a lot of people are like, what? Step and who? Yeah, Step and Fetch It was the original black buffoon. Without Step and Fetch It, there would be no, you know, Tyler Perry, there would be no Madea, there would be no Meet the Browns or any of this other foolishness that you guys see out there. There were, you know what I'm saying? So, in fact, if my memory serves me correctly, I believe Step and Fetch It was one of, if not the first black millionaire. You know, so it's a lot of, you know, history out there that we as a people need to, you know, just do a better job of familiarizing ourselves with and, you know, and educating, you know, people after us with, because this is information that's not really out there a lot of times. So, but definitely, man, you know, definitely rest in peace, Maya Angelou. Is that someone you were familiar with, you were, you know, a fan of?
Yeah, because, you know, when I think of her, I think of just, like, female empowerment. Like, that's the first thing that comes to mind. And she really, you know, the things that she spoke about, it was really about respecting yourself as a woman. And you don't see that now. You don't see people, you know, really promoting respectability. It's all, you know, less is more, and, you know, you have to take your clothes off to get attention, all that stuff. She wasn't like that. You know, she was all about respecting yourself and just loving yourself. And so that, I'll always remember her for that.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, she's actually someone who I've modeled a lot of what I do and have done historically, you know, after. You know, one of the things that she's, one of her famous quotes was, people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And, you know, that's, it's funny, that's something we were talking about last week on the show. I was just saying, like, as far as me, you know, I'm not into, you know, funerals or, you know, big memorials or anything like that. Like, I really want people to just remember moments like tonight, moments like what we've been doing over the last 10 years, like how you feel, you know what I mean, how you feel empowered. Like, when it's all said and done, remember me in that way. And I think that's what Maya would have, you know, would have loved, you know what I'm saying, what she would have appreciated, you know, and what she will appreciate is just people remembering her for her art, her poems, her empowerment, her leadership, her respectability. You know, we talk a lot here, guys, a lot about, you know, respectability and personality and just image. And, you know, and really she did epitomize, you know, she is from a generation where, and it's important that you guys really take note of this, because this is a dying breed. And this is no disrespect to anyone out there currently, but, you know, women like, you know, Maya Angelou, Felicia Rashad, you know, just so many people, you know, Lena Horne, you know, like those, got Patti LaBelle, Anita Baker, you know what I'm saying? Like those beautiful women who literally epitomized, you know, what we as a people should aspire to be like, how, you know, women specifically, how you guys should carry yourselves and, you know, the way that we, just true beauty. But instead, now we look at Nicki Minaj and the Beyoncés and the, you know, I mean, just the foolishness out there. So definitely, you know, familiarize yourself with Maya Angelou. Remember her, spread her work, you know, her work, and read her books and poetry. And, you know, it's just she was just a truly great woman. We talk a lot about here about uplifting. And you know, if you want to model your, not saying you should model yourself after anybody, I'm not about that, but, you know, she definitely would be someone who you could look to for some guidance, even, you know, even though now that she's gone. What else can we talk about tonight, Courtney? I mean, I'm excited to see where this conversation can go, because, you know, there's a lot of hate out there. You know, there's a lot of hatred towards beauty. You know what I mean? I want to talk about Stacey. I want to hold off on it, though, but there's just a lot of hate, and which is why one of the reasons, because I'm on social media. Like, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. You know, I'm like, I'm out there, I'm in the entertainment industry. This is what I do. So I hear a lot of things, and it's just been like a lot of hatred, man. Like, just crazy. I mean, have you heard a lot of hate that's out there and seen it?
Yeah. Yes, it's everywhere. People hating for no reason.
Hating for no reason, Courtney. What's going on out here, man? Well, let's talk real quick, man. Tonight's show is brought to you by Tolbert Relationship Counseling. Tolbert, you know what I'm saying? We've been here. We've been doing this. We've been trying to help guys, you know, men and women, you know, get to that next level in their life where they want to be, resolving conflict. So any counseling needs, you know, premarital, individual, family, everything, we're here for you. Call 855-55-DATON or, you know, visit trctoday.com for more information. You know, so there's that. Another thing that's in the news today, actually, evidently, you know, you guys should know by now, Donald Sterling, you know, has been in the news for his comments towards, you know, towards African-Americans, minorities. And we did a whole show on it, you know, a couple weeks ago, definitely a classic show where we talked about the First Amendment, where we talked about race relations. We talked a lot about, you know, the racial climate here in sports. and, you know, what that means. So I would encourage everybody to listen to that show if you happen to miss it. But the sale evidently has been completed, or, you know, a bill of sale has been signed. And about $2 billion, Courtney, did you hear about that $2 billion price tag for the Clippers? You got $2 billion to spend on the Clippers, on a basketball team?
I don't have that amount to spend, but I did hear about that. I heard about the sale. I didn't hear the amount. Wow.
Yeah, man. Yeah, interesting. I was just watching TV today, and they said that evidently Donald Sterling has decided to sue the NBA for $1 billion, which is interesting. So we'll see how that all plays out. And just to recap, I mean, my views are, I think he should sue. You know, I mean, that's just me personally. Do I agree with what was said? Am I a fan of Donald Sterling? No, obviously not. But at the same time, I personally believe that you should be able to say what you want to say in the privacy of your own home. You don't have to, you know, if you're a racist, you're a racist. I'm sitting here right now in my home. If I want to say whatever I want to say, I should be able to say whatever I want to say, and people can make a decision as to whether or not they want to support me. You know what I'm saying? That should be my decision. Now, if I get out there in public, or if he was out there, but, you know, that's just me, and we did a whole show on that. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see what the lawsuit, what that brings. Should be interesting. It looks like somebody from, what was it, Courtney? Microsoft bought it, one of the executives over there, for $2 billion.
Yeah, I think that's what they were saying.
I think that's what it was. So we'll see how that goes. Still staying on, you know, along the lines of basketball, you guys got to excuse me. You know what I'm saying? This is where you want to be tonight, because we're multitasking tonight. Right, we got the show going on, we got the Eastern Conference Finals going on, right? So all y'all got to do, get your TVs and multitask, put it on mute, listen to me, listen to Courtney, and I mean, Courtney, what could be better?
Nothing.
This is Keeping It Real Fridays, guys. You guys, if you're unfamiliar, if this is your first time tuning in, we talk about pretty much everything. It's very laid back. We have a lot coming up that will be a lot more structured, a lot more, just a lot. Just to tell you, I mentioned in the group, before I forget, next Sunday, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, we talked about the launch, the premiere of Between Brothers. And Between Brothers is going to be a show that Osho and I are going to do. You guys got a chance to hear him over the last couple of weeks. He was on our Noah special. He was on our Alien special on Fallen Angels and what that really means. And so definitely listen to those shows if you missed him. But next Sunday we're going to be launching a brand new show on Sunday nights here at 9 o'clock. Same type of thing we've had going on over the years. But 9 o'clock we'll be discussing a number of different topics. It's going to be one of those things where we talk about everything, but from a biblical perspective, from a brotherly standpoint, from a Christian man, a black man standpoint, like everything. And you guys are welcome to call in as well to participate. We'll have some special guests occasionally, but it's mainly just going to be, you know, hearing us talk about different issues. And I've been in the book of Exodus lately. Specifically Exodus 32, and we're going to be doing a show. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be so crazy. We're going to be doing a show on turning your back on God, and we're going to take a look at what Moses, not so much Moses, but Aaron, and how the people of Israel turned their back on God after everything that he did for them, leading them out of Egypt, and how they decided that they wanted to wild out and you know, have orgies and, you know, worship false gods right after being delivered. And, you know, people saying, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, it has a lot to do with us, because a lot of people out there, after God heals you from that cancer, after he delivers you from that relationship, after he, you know, blesses you with a job, a car, a nice house, you know, a promotion at work, what do? You go out and you call that friend with benefits. You go out and you party. You go out and you get high. You get drunk. You listen to all types of sinful music. So we're going to talk about the modern-day version of what's seen in Exodus 32, and I can't wait to do it. It's going to be crazy, so make sure you guys read up on it and just familiarize yourself with everything that's going on, because we're going to take the old school, bring it to the new school, and talk about it and just mesh everything together. Are you excited about that show, Courtney?
Yes, I am. I'm so excited.
I just did the show just now, and now I got to find a new topic. No, but no, we're going to go deep into it. You know, if you guys have ever heard Osho speak, definitely, you know, you're in for a treat. So definitely look out for that. So there's that. Then we got we're going to do a show on embracing your calling. You know, from a biblical standpoint, you know, a lot of times people are called to do different things, and what happens when you don't embrace your calling? What happens when you you fight your calling? So we're going to be talking about that from a biblical standpoint. We're going to be talking about soul ties. We got a show coming up on sex addiction and other forms of addiction and how to break those addictions. We're going to do our all-time classic show on the Ten Commandments and how, you know, the modern-day version of that and, you know, what God has really commanded us to do. So modern-day slavery, we're going to be talking about trust issues. Depression, we still got to do that show. So, I mean, just understand, guys, the spring and the summer is about to get very hot. It's about to get very heated. A lot of great topics. Are you excited?
Yes, I'm so excited.
Okay, just wanted to give y'all a little little preview of what we have going on. I have a lot going on, so we may not be live every night, but we'll when we are, definitely, you know, and even the archive shows. You know what I mean? A lot of great archive shows, but definitely get caught up if you're a newer listener. What else can we talk about today? I was watching or listening to the radio, you know, and I don't listen to the radio, you know, a lot, but I do this, you know, I'm in entertainment, so I try to, you know, stay abreast of what is going on out there. I try to, you know, just keep myself informed of what is what music is out there, what movies are out there, what TV shows are out there, everything that's going on. And there's a lot of music out there that is very, very, satanic. You know, there's a lot of music out there that is a lot of hidden messages out there, a lot of just sexualized content, like blatant sex. I just want to talk about it real quick. I mean, one of the things I heard was, I mean, we talked about Beyonce, but, you know, people really think that she's talking about some form of fruit when she's singing about watermelon. You know what I mean? Like, we did a whole show on that. Like, it's not watermelon, guys. It's something very sexual that I don't even want to, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully you guys know by now. When you look at this new song, I heard this young woman out here talking, oh, yeah, good kisser. You know, women really think that this is like some type of song that's romantic, or this is some type of song that's honoring them in some way. I mean, have you heard this good kisser song, Courtney?
No, I have not. I haven't heard it.
Lie to me, Courtney. Don't lie to me. Come on.
No, I'm serious. I've never heard the song, but I know what it's about, but I've never heard it.
What's it about?
I think just based off the lyrics, because I did Google.
Come on, what's it about?
The lyrics.
What's it about?
It's about a woman giving him head, basically. Right? That's what good kissing is about.
Right, kissing. I mean, they even say it blatantly. I hope that she kiss it good, kiss it. Well, you guys get it by now. Like, it's about sex. Like, you know what I mean? You know, that song, Trey Songz, where he's saying, say ah. Say, like a lot of women, even back then, you know, women really thought that he was singing about something other than, it's not about, say, I pouring drinks into. No, it's, you know, it's, I mean, that's how blatant it is. That's how blatant it is. You know, that's, man. And here's the thing, and it's not even that the lyrics are the problem. It's that people don't see what the lyrics are. People don't understand that, yo, this is just disrespecting you. You know, we live in a society where, you know, these artists are blatantly trying to make a mockery. They're blatantly trying to disrespect you and over sexualize you. And there was a time, you know, when people would actually, you know, protest that type of stuff. You know, and now we don't see that as much as we used to. In fact, people are not only not protesting it, but they are embracing it and loving it. So we have to, in fact, the Word speaks about that. I was reading the Bible, and I would really encourage everybody just to read the Bible. I was reading the Word recently, and this is crazy. Moses is a wild dude, man. You know, Moses was actually saved everybody. Who would have thought? You know, because Moses had his own issues. But a lot of people don't realize, you know, obviously God destroyed the world. He sent the flood. He sent, which we did a whole show on. Check out our homosexuality show where we talked about the reasons why God destroyed the world, why he sent the flood. He obviously destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah specifically because of the sin, you know, the sexuality, you know, all that type of stuff that was going on. In the world, the corruption, the violence, you know, and all that stuff, sodomy. But in Exodus, you know, he was going to go ahead and kill everybody because they decided that they wanted to, they wanted to still practice, you know, like I said, they built the gold calf, Aaron built the gold calf and decided they wanted to worship that and, you know, have a big party, you know, have a big sex fest, but call it, you know, me and Osho, I don't want to say too much because me and Osho are going to really talk a lot about that next week. But that's God was going to kill them for that. The whole Israel tribe of Israel, like the whole Israeli people, he was going to go and kill everyone. You know that, right, Courtney? I mean, God was going to kill them. He was pissed off. You know,
yeah.
Moses actually saved everybody. It said, you know, after speaking to Moses, it said God changed his mind. You know what I mean? Which is crazy. You know what I mean? God was going to do something, but he decided not to do it specifically because of, you know, Moses' his objection to it. So, my point is, and this is what God said to Moses to tell the people. It said, "You are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel among you, even for a moment, I would surely destroy you along the way." That's crazy, Corey. I posted that on Facebook. I mean, can you imagine God saying that to you? Like, just really, you know, you could tell he was pissed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he lets you know, you know, when he was angry about something. He really didn't play. He didn't.
And I would just encourage everybody, because a lot of times people get it twisted. They think God is a joke. They don't understand the wrath of God. They don't understand why they should fear God, but that's really where the Old Testament comes in. So you can get a sense of why you should fear God and how serious this stuff is. You know, like, fortunately for us, you know, Jesus Christ died for our sins, but as I say all the time, that does not change how God feels about sexuality, you know, homosexuality, sex, violence, sin overall, you know what I mean? Just he doesn't like it, and in fact, he killed people for it in the past. So this is what he says: "Is you're a stubborn and rebellious people." He said, "Look, y'all just go." He said, "Just get out of my sight. Just go about your business, because if I came with you on this journey, y'all wouldn't even make it to where you're getting to. I would just kill you, you know what I mean, along the way." You know what I'm saying? And so what I said was, which is crazy, you know what I mean? I said this is how God responded as a result of people's sinful lifestyle in the Old Testament. I said, with the world filled with sex, drugs, music, murder, corruption, homosexuality, and abortion, which are clearly all sins, I said that I can only imagine what he would say about the state of today's society. So I just want everybody to reflect on that, because it's pretty deep, you know what I mean? And I'm not talking down, because I'm part of the problem. You know, we're all sinners, you know what I mean? Like, I'm no better. Courtney surely no better, you know what I'm saying? You know Courtney.
Really?
You know what I mean? So don't feel like we're above y'all. We're just speaking the truth, and we all need to step up to the plate, you know? But Courtney, you know, she's definitely... you know, a problem. Like, no, I'm just messing with you. Just playing.
That's okay.
In fact, I was talking about sex online today. you know, I was talking about, you know, and this was an old post that I reposted. I thought it was applicable for this evening. I said that if you, as far as, you know, we see a lot of dishonesty out here, you know, as far as sexual numbers go. We did a show. Was it you and I? I think you and I did a show called What's Your Number? What's Your Sex Number?
Yeah, I think we did do that together.
It was a while ago, maybe like a couple of years ago at this point. But, you know, we did a show where we talked about sex, you know, and we talked about what your sexual number says about you, how it will affect your chances of finding love, how it will affect your chances of emotional availability, you know, how men will view you, should it be discussed, should it not be discussed. And, you know, there's always been a, you know, a huge debate. You know, a lot of women will say, well, you know, it's nobody's business. And it's not. It isn't anybody's business. But that being said, you can't go around lying. You know what I mean? You can't say, all right, I want to base this relationship on honesty, but you're out there lying about your number of bodies, the number, you know what I'm saying? So if you, and I believe men have a right to know if they want to know, you know? So if somebody is, you know, if they're thinking about wifing you up, it's like if you're buying, thinking about buying a car, Courtney, you have a right to know how many miles it has on it, don't you?
Right, yes.
And not only that, the number of miles on it is going to determine what the price of that car is. You know, the number of miles is going to either raise the value or it's going to lower the value. I sell cars now, you know. So one of the reasons why I, you know, am able to sell cars for so cheap, you know, come get a car if you're in Philly, Jersey, or Delaware, you know, is because a lot of cars, to be honest, they're great cars, but a lot of them do have high miles, but you're getting them at a very low price, and we take care of them. So that's what it is. It affects the price. So that's something to think about. But I was just saying that if you feel like you have to lie, then you're most likely, you know, you need to stop what you're doing. You need to cut back on the sex. You need to keep your legs closed. You need to not be a hoe. You need to respect your body, right? You need to seek God. I mean, these are all things that are true, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything incorrect, am I?
No.
So, remember that girl who called in the other night, last time we were live, everybody, she called in, talking about some, what's your background and this and that?
Uh-huh.
She actually, I know it was her, but she sent me a someone created a fake email just to email me and to, you know what I mean, and to say all this crazy stuff. I just thought I would share that. Is that not psycho?
That is.
Who does that? You know, create it, because I tried to reply. I was just going to say, you know, all right, well, thank you for listening. I appreciate the feed. Like, it wasn't even a valid email address. Like, they created it. They shut it down immediately after sending the message. You know, that's crazy. So I just wanted to share that with you. This is what I deal with. You know, that. But the, one of the things is, and, you know, I don't even want to say too much about it, but and it's funny that I said it at the beginning of the last show. There are a lot of people out here who are hurting, and I say pray for them. There are a lot of people who are hurting. They listen to these shows, you know, literally just not in a good way, not in a good place. And so, you know, a lot of things that are said, you know, they have lied about their sex partners. They have, you know, made some bad decisions. They have done a lot of those things. So, you know, it hurts to hear these types of things being said, especially from a man around the same age who may even look like some of the guys that, who have, you know, they've done these things with. So that's not, but you got to pray about that. One of the things that the Word says is that when you confess your sins, He will make those sins white as snow. So you really don't have to be mad at Courtney. You don't have to be mad at me. You don't have to call into the show. You don't have to write into, you know what I mean? You can actually just tell God, just confess your sins, and whatever you did, He'll make you a different person. He'll make you white as snow, and you won't have to be upset. You won't have to call into the show from a block number. You won't have to do any of those things. Okay, you can sit here and enjoy the show. You can sit here and watch the NBA finals, you know what I'm saying, on mute, you know, and just have a nice, enjoying Friday evening. I mean, could there be anything better? I mean, where would you rather be right now? Out there in the club right now? Out there getting smashed off on somebody's couch right now? on a meaningless date with somebody right now, you know, and then have to go play tug of war with the panties. I mean, just keep it real, you know, out there, just, you know, ex-boyfriend talking on the phone with somebody about nothing, them trying to talk about sex, you actually trying to steer the conversation away from sex, but you not wanting to get off the phone because you really want love and you think that maybe he could have love only if he could stop trying to get in your pants. What isn't this better than that? You guys know, of course, no one's going to answer that question, but I'll ask you, Courtney, is it not better?
I just want to say real quick, like, you just really kept it real. Like, that's really what happens. Like,
hey, trust me, I know.
That's because when you were talking, I was like, wow, that was my life, you know, back in the day. I should say back in the day, maybe like 3 years ago. But, yeah, I mean, it's nothing better than listening to the show. Everything else, I feel like it's a sin. So.
I was counseling someone today. Shout out to her if she's listening. But she said, wait a minute, because I told her something she didn't think I should know. And she said, well, how do you know that? I said, I know everything because I've done it. She's like, wow, it's like you're all in my head. I said, I know because that, like, I've lived this stuff. You know, somebody says, what's your background? My background was Friday night smashing women off. That's the only background you need to know. You know what I'm saying? Do I have a PhD in anything? No, I do not. But there is no one, trust me when I say this, I promise you this to all the haters and the appreciators, there is not a person on the face of the earth, understand what I'm saying, that is more knowledgeable about dating, that is more knowledgeable and experienced in relationships and helping women avoid the uncomfortable circumstances that they deal with. The reason being, not because I'm someone special, but because I used to be a bastard. That's what people don't seem to get. See, I used to be that guy that you're calling in about, that you're writing into the show about. I used to be him. That guy that you're upset about, that guy who you can't get off your mind, I had plenty of women who couldn't get me off their mind. You see what I'm saying? And so I can tell you all the tricks of the trade and the, you see what I'm saying? And you can tell miserable people when they can't see past that and they want to focus on other things that mean nothing. You see, does that, I mean, it's sad, actually, but I just want to share that with y'all. So, but shout out to the people who know that. Shout out to the people who appreciate that. You guys are the people who I do what I do. There's no one even more knowledgeable than Courtney about being used, being dogged, being taken advantage of, not respecting herself. That's why she's able to come back and say, hey, look, you know, this is what I do. You know, this is what I can bring to the table. So so there's that. What else can we talk about tonight? Keeping It Real Fridays, guys. We're going to talk about Stacey Dash a little bit. But, yeah, definitely stop lying, ladies. Courtney, have you ever lied? Well, you haven't really lied, but let me put it like this. You've only been with two people, but have you ever felt the need to be less than honest about your past?
Yes.
Why is that?
Yes. Because I was afraid of how I would be viewed. So it wasn't about, you know, how many people I slept with, but just the experiences and how the ways I allowed, you know, myself to be treated and the situations I allowed myself to be in. That's what I, you know, was ashamed of.
Right, right.
So I'm wondering, like, well, what's he going to – oh, keep going, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just thinking, like, you know, if I reveal this, they're going to think, what is she, some type of hoe? Like, what's going on with her? So, you know, I wouldn't be, you know, as forthcoming or would want to be. It's like I wanted to be perfect or appear to be perfect.
Right. Here's the thing. One of the things that you said, shame and guilt, as you guys know by now, those are two of the major lies that the enemy uses to keep us bound, depressed, and depressed. So what you have to do is you have to do what the Word says, which is be joyful always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. So you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be upset. You don't have to be mad. You know, you don't have to have shame or guilt. You just kind of go about, you know, go about your business and, you know, in the way that God would want you to do it. So there's that. But yeah, and Courtney, you know, she can definitely relate to that. What else? What else is going on out here, man? Think Like a Man 2 is coming out. Who's going to see it? You going to check that out, Courtney?
On bootleg or something. I'm not paying to see it.
Well, why not?
Maybe when it comes on DVD. I don't know. I'm not interested in this one for some reason. It's like I could take or leave it. I don't know.
You saw the first one, though, right?
I did. I saw the first one. I just didn't know that they were going to keep going with it. So I don't know.
You saw a baggage
really
claim,
interested.
Though, right? You saw a baggage claim,
no,
though, right?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I did not see baggage claim.
Oh, my fault. Okay.
I wanted to portray songs, but I'm just playing.
All right. My mom used to say, keep me near the cross when we used to piss her off when we say crazy stuff. Lord, keep me near the cross. Now, here's the thing about that. I bring that up because it's coming out, and I'm going to go see it. You know, and I saw, and you guys know, hopefully you know, you saw one of the best shows that we've ever done was a 3-night Think Like a Man special. If you guys caught, and if you saw the movie, we broke it up and we analyzed every character. The men, we talked about why they were all non-elite men. We talked about the emotional unavailability and the reasons for that of all the female characters. So I would just, and I'm going to post the links as the release of that movie gets closer. But I say that because, I mean, it was really good information. That's why I would say a lot of the stuff, that, like some of the best shows have come about that, you know, that we've done here have come from, you know, these movies, you know, whether it's Think Like a Man. You guys remember Think Like a Man, the first one, we did a part two and then a part three, all crazy. Three of the most, just, I mean, I don't even know, best shows ever. Check them out if you miss them. Just Google Think Like a Man special on the Data on Talbot show. But like that, Tyler Perry's Temptation, that we did a classic show on. We talked about how Stellar got her groove back. We talked about Something New, where we talked about interracial relationships several years ago. A lot of these TV shows that we analyze and just break down, some really great, great information was given. So I say that to say we're going to be doing another special on the new movie. And why not? You know what I'm saying? Like, why not? People are going to see the movie. You know, the last one grossed, what, 50 million opening week. So people are going to see it. You know, like a lot of these issues, people say, well, why are you talking about that? Well, why not? You know, why not take something that people are going to talk about anyway, but talk about it from a biblical standpoint? You know, what lessons can be learned? What does the Bible say about it? Talk about it from a real standpoint, like an actual man standpoint, a dating standpoint, a relationship standpoint, so you guys can at least learn something, you know, from something that y'all are going to see anyway. Right, I mean, you're going to watch Love and Hip Hop. Why not talk about it? You're going to watch, you know, what, The View. Why not talk about Sherry Shepherd? Why not talk about the Kim Kardashian situation? Why not use these as examples? You know, speaking of which, you know, congratulations to, I'm no hater, congratulations to Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. They tied the knot, I believe, down in Italy. Are you aware of their marriage?
Yeah, in Florence. Yeah.
Yes. Looks like it was a beautiful wedding, you know. Hey, listen, congratulations to them. No haters over here. Like, this is not that type of show. If anybody has some type of, what the heck? Yo, y'all watching this game? Yo, this dude is crazy. Yo, I'm sorry. Yo. If I'm going to be honest with y'all, I'm sorry, real quick. If I was LeBron James, I might have to just punch this dude in his face after, because this dude is doing all types of crazy stuff. You know what I mean? Grabbing his genitals, blowing in his face. Yo, look at it. Yo, watch this thing. I'm sorry. We're going to talk about that for a second. But, yo, this dude is crazy, man. But, Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, this marriage. You guys know, I mean, you know what it is. You know, you got the most non-elite man, the most non-godly man on the face of the planet in Kanye West. You got the literally most emotionally unavailable woman on the face of the earth in Kim Kardashian. I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is. I mean, we know how it's going to end. We've seen how it's going to end with countless celebrity relationships and marriages in the past. We predicted all of them. So I don't even think I need to put it out there. I mean, you guys should know by now the recipe, you know, what that's a recipe for, emotional unavailability and you know, dealing with anyone other than a true man of God, a true man on fire for God. It's you know, it's not, in fact, it's going to be a disaster. But you guys know that. So, but be that as it may, you know, congratulations to them, you know, because I'm not, you know, I wish them the best. I don't have a problem with either one of them personally, but, you know, it is what it is, all right? So there's that. But this whole, I did want to say briefly about the whole LeBron thing. It was on my list of things to talk about. I mean, you guys got a chance to see. They're in the playoffs. I don't even know if you guys follow sports like that, but Lance Stephenson plays for the Pacers. Okay, and LeBron James obviously plays for the Miami Heat. And this dude has been, Lance Stephenson has been talking a lot of trash, been trying to get in LeBron's head and saying different things and just doing a lot of little stuff that, you know, to get under his skin. But what people got to realize is, you know, there's certain things. See, I've played basketball my whole life. I've watched basketball my whole life. There's certain things as a man that you just don't do. And I think that's what people need to understand. We're in a new society, guys. We're in a whole different arena, a whole new day and age where homosexuality is becoming rampant. We talked about the whole DL epidemic that started, 10 years ago, 15 years ago or something. I mean, it's on a whole nother level now. And the vast majority of people, men out here, you know, are fruity, you know, are on the DL, and it's just going to get worse as time goes on. And I'm saying there's certain things as a man, forget a basketball player, that you just don't do. And I said on Facebook, I said I'm not sure, you know, who's worse out here. I'm not sure what was a worse situation. A grown man blowing in another man's face softly blowing in his face, right? I mean, that is gay, okay? I mean, that's no disrespect to gays, but that's gay. Like, that's very feminine. That's a female thing to do. That's not a manly thing to do. You understand that? You don't do that. You don't blow softly in a man's face. But what's even more, made me more uncomfortable, it probably even more so, because we knew what, you know, what he was doing, but it was just not cool to do as a man. But what I was more uncomfortable was LeBron's reaction to it. Now Courtney, it looked like he was, it's just a little grin. It was almost like he was blushing, to be honest with you. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it, but I heard about that.
I'm just like, yo, we got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to men being men. We got to get back to fathers being fathers. And I mean, when I say fathers being fathers, I mean fathers raising their sons. Fathers raising their sons to be men. Fathers encouraging their sons to not grow up acting and looking and dressing and thinking like females, because it's an epidemic. Okay? It's ridiculous. We got to get back to that. We got to get back to, I mean, and this is nothing against single moms, but single moms, you got to do what you have to do to make sure that your son has a father. Okay, I'm going to say that again. You have to do what you have to do to make sure that your son has a father. Now, if that means if he doesn't have a biological father who is in his life, who wants to be in his life, that's fine. All that means is that you have to do what you have to do from an emotional availability standpoint, you know, to be found by the man that God has for you so that he can be a great stepfather. And that's what we talk about. Everything we talk about is specifically for that purpose. You know, but the worst thing that you could do is just allow these kids to be out here being raised by the world, being raised by, you know, with these homosexual influences out here, and there be no, you know, nothing to counteract that. You know, if you have, I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you see all this craziness out there, like I grew up okay seeing all these, you know, weirdos out here only because I had a strong father. I have a strong father. I had a strong grandfather, uncles, aunts, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, cousins, older brothers who were able to show me, like, okay, this is what it looks like to be a strong black man. These kids do not have that. And it's crazy out here. And we all have to do our part to make sure that these young men don't grow up wearing skinny jeans, their shirts tied around their belly buttons, blowing in each other's faces, grinning and blushing when men blow in their faces. You know, it's ridiculous. Courtney, I mean, you see what I'm talking about. Everybody, this is the elephant that's in the room. Nobody wants to talk about these young black men growing up to be fruitcakes. Everybody's politically correct. Everybody wants to be, oh, let's not offend the gays. No, no, it's not about offending the gays. It's about offending God. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we need to talk about, man. I have a nephew. We got to get out here and be fathers to these kids. We got to get out here, you know what I'm saying, be uncles, be big brothers, be mentors, be role models. Stop making excuses. Stop saying, oh, no, it doesn't matter. No, it does matter. Everybody wants to complain about, oh, there are no good black men out here. Everybody's this and that. But you're out there having sex and contributing and raising your son and then wondering why, you know what I'm saying, he turns out to act like a woman. But it starts with you, mom. It starts with you, dad. Be a father, mom. Stop being a hoe. You know, stop. I mean, I'm just saying. Courtney, am I saying something that's incorrect? Just keeping it real Fridays.
No, I mean, everything you're saying is true, and I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand, just, you know, young men that are raised without a father and just the effects of it, just, you know, being very feminine, or on the flip side, just really, you know, being controlling and domineering towards women and just being abusive. I've seen that, too, as a result. So either way, I mean, it's just important to have a father or just, like you said, someone, you know, a strong male father figure or someone there. Because otherwise, like you said, I mean, that's when they start dressing like women, wanting to be like women. That's not how things are supposed to be. I know God's not happy with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to go to the phone lines in a little bit. Definitely, if you guys have questions, comments, definitely hit us up, 646-200-0036. Open up the phone lines in a little bit, about 5 to 10 minutes. We'll take some calls. Hold on to your calls and your comments if you have questions. A couple things I want to get through. But one of the things that y'all always want to look at is, you know, we talked about this on one of Marv's last shows on Barbershop Talk. We did it when we were doing the best of Barbershop Talk last week when I went away to Cali. Marv was, I had him on there, you know, we aired this show about how to recognize a man on the DL. And that was a really, I mean, I would encourage every woman to listen to that show because, I mean, me, Marv, Lewis, James, we really talked about some important things just from about being a man and how to recognize when somebody is not on the up and up and homosexual traits that a lot of women just aren't trained to see. But we as men can look at and be like, hold on. That really doesn't look right. Like, that's a little fruity. But women, they don't know what to look for. So they're dealing with these men thinking, oh, no, he's just metrosexual. He's just, you know, nah, that's actually gay. You know, and there were a number of things. That's why I say listen to the show. But one of the main ways to recognize certain things that aren't cool is to look at the relationship with God. You know, we talk a lot about in my private counseling about strengthening your spiritual immune system. You know, it's like if you don't take your vitamins, you don't get enough rest, well, you're going to be susceptible to, you know, colds and viruses and things like that. You know, but the same thing is true when it comes to sin. If you're not doing things to strengthen that spiritual immune system, you're going to get sick. You're going to get attacked. You're going to fall victim to sin. And homosexuality, you know, is one of those sins. You know what I'm saying? That's why it's important to stay prayed up. That's why it's important to be on fire for God. Otherwise, it's a lot of stuff going on. I mean, what's the last homosexual that you know that was absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ, Courtney?
None.
Right. Yeah, you guys ever notice that? Show me a homosexual who's absolutely on fire for Jesus Christ. Probably not going, or someone who's even super feminine. Probably not going to see it. And one of the reasons for that is mainly because, you know, you don't have that covering, you know. And so, and it's not just homosexuality, but the sin of lust, the sin of depression, the sin of, you know, obesity. You know, there's a lot of stuff that will creep up in on you, you know, when you don't have that passion for Jesus Christ. So I'm telling y'all the truth. I'm being honest with y'all. So it's deep out here. But yeah, definitely. Pray for our youth, man. Pray, because it's real out here, man. That's why I told y'all, man. And shout out to Aaron who reposted it. I told y'all before several months ago that if you're a single woman, your two best friends will be the Bible and, you know, on a Friday night, be the Bible and Netflix. Somebody said, well, why Netflix? I know why the Bible. Well, Netflix, because you got to have some type of show. You got to have some form of, you know, and I'm not talking about, you know, the adult channel. I'm not talking about the sex movies. I'm talking about, like, you know, just some type of good show that you can get into that will occupy your time, that will give you some form of entertainment. I mean, obviously, I mean, because let's be honest, no one's going to read the Bible 24/7. I mean, you know, let's be honest. You want to have your time with God. You want to get into the Word. You want to live in your calling. You want to get into ministry. But let's be honest. Sometimes you just want to sit back and have some good old fun. You have some entertainment. And, you know, and sometimes it's good to just sit back and have that quiet time, you know, and just be down in your little man cave or your woman cave or your bedroom or wherever you are and just sit back and get into a good show. You know, turn off the phone. Guys calling you, you know, do not call me anymore. You know, do not, you know what I'm saying, just get them out of there and just focus. Friday nights, well, really every night, listen to the Dayton Tolbert Show, chill. And you're good, you know, and that's when you, and that's, you know, obviously when you combine everything into it, you, that's when God, you know, goes ahead and puts the pieces together and sends that man that you, that he has for you, you know, I mean, that's really, it's not as hard as people think. If you're sitting here on a Friday night, say, all right, well, cool, I'm listening in, that's what's up, but that's not happening for me, you know, I'm single, I mean, why am I single? Well, let's be honest, let's talk about it. We talked about, what was it, last week, our all-time classic special on the top 10 ways for women finding love, you know, what to lose, you know, what to gain, how to find it. Do those things, but let's be honest, you got to, who are you having sex with, you know, what men are in your life, who are you still, who are you thinking about right now, you know, who's texting you, what texts are in your phone? Well, that all is going to play a role, so, and even if it's not that, what other sin, you know, is in your life? Maybe you know, you listen to the, you follow the horoscopes. Maybe you do some other stuff that you know you have no business doing. Well, those are all things that you want to, you know, eliminate. And then, you know, you'll see how fast things tend to go your way. You ever had to take a moment, do some self-reflection and eliminate some sin from your life, Courtney?
Yes, all the time. You know,
all the time, right? All the time, every day. You gotta get some new form of sin out. Exactly.
Well, I mean, I'm human. You know, it's something that, you know, I'm dealing with that I know that, okay, I shouldn't be doing that. And the good thing about it is God will call me out on it. Like, he'll say, you know what? Maybe that's not the best idea. Maybe you shouldn't be listening to this song. Maybe you shouldn't be doing this or that. So yeah, I mean, I could definitely relate to that.
Oh, yeah, and I'll call you out on it, too. Don't forget about that.
I know. I couldn't forget about that.
Absolutely. And I'll call you guys out on it, too, guys. You guys are all my little sisters. You know, I look at Courtney like a little sister. You guys are all out there like a little sister. I have a little sister, so everything that I tell her or tell you guys, I have told her, at, you know, at one point or another, so don't feel any type of way. Don't feel in to call in and say, well, did you go to school for this? Where'd you learn? I'm like, did you go to school for this? I said, no, I was having sex with women in school for this. That's what I was doing. I was getting the, you know, in school, I didn't even go to class. No, I'm playing with y'all. Like, that's what I'm saying. When I was in school, I was living the life and building the experiences that allow me to be able to give back this information, you know, where somebody else may have actually gone to school and said, hey, look, okay, yeah, I want to be a counselor. Okay, so I'm going to sit in my room, my dorm, and I'm going to study every night, and I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to have any experiences, and then I'm going to get my PhD. And no disrespect to people who've done that. But if you can't relate to what you guys are going through, how can that person help you? Which is interesting. I see a lot of women, you know, getting advice from other women about things that those women have never even experienced or have no knowledge of. You know, the only reason Courtney does what she does as a woman is because she's, well, one, been trained by me, but two, understands the things that men do because she's going through them. So she's able to say, hey, look, this is, you know, what needs to happen. So you see what I'm saying? But don't, you know, be careful about who you, you know, who you follow, who you take advice from. I don't care what their background is. You know, you need to know, like, all right, does this person know what I've been through? Does this person know what a jump off is? Does a man know, does this person know exactly why men target women for sex? Can this person tell me what it takes to get down on a, you know, have a man get down on a knee and give me a ring? If the answer to that question is no, then, you know, what can they give you? What can they offer you? Nothing. Nothing. I'm just saying, guys. I'm just saying. Guys, you're listening to Keeping It Real Fridays tonight. Okay? We're keeping it honest tonight. I'm going to go to the phone lines in a little bit, about 2 minutes. We're going to be talking a little bit in the second hour about Stacey Dash, a little bit about Fox News, a little bit about how beautiful she... Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was something I was talking about in the barbershop earlier. That's a different topic, you know. No, but all jokes aside, you know what I mean? Very beautiful woman, you know, and, you know, and we'll talk about that. You know, we'll talk about why and, you know, where a lot of this, you know, hatred and you know, does come from. In fact, let's talk about it right now. Let's talk about it right now. But let's go to the phone. I'm going to go to the phone lines right now. 646-200-0366. Hit the number on your keypad because I do want to talk about a lot of things. We have the emotional availability pop quizzes to go through in a little bit. So you're calling the line from the 203 area code. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show. Hello, 203, you there? 203-671, you there? Welcome to the show. Yeah, I think they got the track phone, Corey. I'm not sure what they got going on. They need to update their phone on that. What? Yo, I don't even know. What is a track phone? What is that? Is that like a prepaid? I say it, but I really don't know what it is. What is that? I mean,
are you
know,
serious?
Like, when
you don't know what a track phone?
No, that's what I'm saying. When you, on yours, like, how does the plan work? What do you, what does your phone do?
Well, track phone, that was one of my very first phones. That's a prepaid phone. So you, you know, pay you pay ahead of time for the minutes. You get, like, a certain amount of minutes that you pay for. And then once you use that up, then it's a wrap. You have to, reload it and repay, you know, pay again for it.
So it's one of those. Okay, is that different from, like, the Cricket phone?
Cricket, I think, is actually a contract, if I'm not mistaken. Track phone's not. It's like a pay-as-you-go.
So that's the burner phones that the drug dealers be on.
Basically. But it was, it's a good phone, though. It was one of my first phones.
Gotcha. Yeah, I've been with Sprint for, I want to say, at least 15 years. So, like, ever since college. So I've been with them for a minute. But yeah, shout out to everybody who has the track phone, the Cricket phone, calling in, no reception, man. Just go call from a landline, guys.
Nobody has landlines anymore.
Yo, I was watching TV the other day. We were talking the other day, I was talking to somebody about the fact that there's really no, there aren't a lot of good comedies on. A lot of these comedies are just stupid and they're just non-existent, and the ones that are, they just really aren't funny. But I'll be honest with y'all, have you ever seen the Ricky Smiley Show, Courtney?
Yeah, I don't think it's funny.
For real?
Don't tell me you think it's funny. You think it's funny?
I saw like maybe 20 minutes of one episode one time, and I saw another one, you know, like the other night. And I'll be honest with you, I think Ray J is actually a not so bad actor in sitcoms. I thought he was not bad on Thea. I thought he was not bad on what was the other show he was on, Courtney? You know, what the heck was that other show he was on? You know what I'm talking about. A couple years ago, he was on. What the heck was he on? It was, it'll come to me. But he was on another show, and then now he's on the Ricky. So, I mean, he's funny, and you know, a lot of, Ricky Smiley is a funny dude. I mean, we know what it is, you know what I mean? A lot of buffoonery, but, you know, I'm just saying, as far as sitcoms go, it's not a horrible show. It's actually, the scenes I saw were actually kind of a little bit funny. But yeah, so there's that. Let's talk a little bit about Stacey Dash, and then I do want to get into some of these emotional availability pop quizzes that were very good and will be very informative. Somebody got on me today because they said that I don't sometimes I don't always get a chance to, you know, get to all of the pop quiz. So I want to make sure we do that just because there's so many topics. But, you know, if you guys are not familiar, you know, we've been seeing a lot of stuff in the news. Stacey Dash is now a commentator or a contributor to Fox News. And over the last, I guess, couple of years or so, she's been doing different appearances on the network, different, you know, speaking engagements, just expressing her views on you know, politics and, you know, social issues from a Republican standpoint. Now, Stacey Dash, let's just be clear, all right? Because I want this to be clear. Who is she? Stacey Dash is really her claim to fame at this point. Really was her role in Clueless, which was a very popular movie that I saw growing up. I don't know when it came out, what, 92 or something like that, around that time. I think I even saw that in the movie theater back in the day. But she, and I'm going to tell you all something. Stacey Dash came on the scene as being absolutely gorgeous. Okay. Now, and that's, I don't, okay, let's just be clear about
really?
That. No, I'm just being honest. I mean, she's a beautiful woman. Okay, and I'm going to tell you all why I'm saying that. But it's important to know what's being said out there. I mean, Stacey Dash is, you know, from a barbershop standpoint, because, like, this is keeping it real far. I don't want to lie to y'all. Like, you know what I'm saying? I want you guys to know, you know, that would be disrespectful to Marv, rest in peace. That would be disrespectful to Virgil, rest in peace, who sat up here night in and night out and kept it real. You know, and that's what I'm known for. That's what I'm going to continue. You know, you need to know what's being said. Historically, Stacey Dash has always been one of the most beautiful women out there, period, okay? Like, she's will always be in almost every black man's top five most beautiful women of all time, right up there along with Halle Berry, right up there along with Stacey Dash, Halle Berry, who else? I mean, those, honestly, those are the only two women, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head. Sally Richardson, you know, who are just eternally stapled into the top five. You know, people's top fives change, and, you know, sometimes you'll see people say throw Nia Long in there and Gabrielle Union. I think that's ridiculous that she's even in there. But you know what I'm saying? But those three people that I just named are just there on every man's top five list. And it's important that you guys understand. Does that mean that you're not beautiful if you don't look like those women? No. But at the same time, I'm being honest with you. I'm being real with you, which 99.9% of men will not do because they don't want to hurt your feelings. But I'm not worried about hurting feelings. I'm worried about being honest. And that's the truth. So I say all that to say, Stacey Dash, being that staple, being the one of the most beautiful women in history, is it makes a lot of women uncomfortable. Okay, they know, because when you look at beauty, when you look at the naturalness, you look at the actual beautiful eyes that are not contact, you look at the beautiful, the nice long hair that is not a weave, okay, you know what I'm saying? Like, how you know she doesn't, look, she has long hair. Whether she puts weave in there at times for extra, that's whatever, but she has long hair, right? That's what, you know, that's most important. And so it's important to understand that from a real standpoint, from a beauty standpoint, she has that look that men are looking for. It's not about being light-skinned. It's not about, it's about being beautiful, and it's about being real. That's, and, you know, the a lot of women are getting fake breasts, fake boobs. She came along with just like, bam, like, this is me, this is natural, this is who I am. And we saw her grow up, you know what I mean? Like, she wasn't getting boob implants at, you know, at 20 years old or anything like that. So what I'm saying to y'all is she's gotten a lot of hatred. I grew up hearing women hate on her. I'd be like, oh, you know, women would hear us talking about that. And, oh, she all right. I mean, she ain't all that. I mean, that, you acting like she's not. I'm like, what are you talking about? She, you know, she is. So that's, I'm trying to paint a picture of, I funny thing is, like, I don't like haters. And I, it's funny, I find myself knowing what the Miami Heat is all about, knowing what LeBron James represents, knowing, you know, his allegiance to certain people and, you know, the whole game plan, knowing what it is, you know what I mean? You know, knowing, like, you know what I'm saying, what he believes and seeing it from my, with my own eyes, you know, as far as everything we talk about here on the show, it's still hard for me to root against LeBron James. It's hard for me to root against Kobe Bryant, specifically because they're probably two of the most hated on individuals out there. It's hard for me, you know, and so, you know, Stacey Dash is one of those women. No one really cares about her views. Here's the thing. People try to act like, well, first of all, let me say how it all started. How it started was her expressing her views towards, you know, about Mitt Romney and expressing her support for his candidacy for the presidency of the United States. That's how it all started. She expressed that she was a Republican. She expressed that she supported. She even said that, it, you know, her supporting Romney does not mean that she doesn't like Obama. It doesn't mean that she hates on Obama. In fact, she said she finds Obama to be brilliant. She finds him to be a great leader, a great speaker, and probably would do some really good things for the country. She said, however, I just like Romney better. I think that he would be a better president than Barack Obama. Now, that's, you know, we all have a right to vote. We all have a right to participate or not participate in the political process. I choose to not bait in, and, you know, because I know what it is, you know what I'm saying? But if we're talking about the political process, then, you know, that's your decision. You know, we look at society and everybody, oh, vote or die, and, you know, make sure y'all vote today, do X, Y, and Z. And it's just like, if someone tells you they didn't vote, they look like they're crazy. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Sorry, do you want me to vote? Or do you want me to vote for the black man? Do you want me to vote Democratic? Because that's, I mean, isn't that really what's being said, Courtney, is vote for who I'm voting for. Vote for who I want you to vote for. And if you vote for anyone other than that, then I really don't want you to vote. Isn't that really what's being said?
Right. That's, yeah, it is.
I mean, that's really what it is. You know, I mean, let's be honest, because somebody said, oh, did you vote today? I'm like, yeah, I voted. Yeah, I voted for, you know, John McCain. I voted for Mitt Romney. What? What do you mean? I thought you wanted me to vote. I thought it was vote or die. You know, and that's ridiculous. So I say that to say I voted in the last election. I didn't vote for Barack Obama, though. I didn't vote for Mitt Romney. Who did I vote for, Courtney?
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yeah. That's who I vote for. I have a write-in candidate that I vote for. Because somebody said, well, why would you do that? I do that. And that's just me personally. I don't advise anyone to do that. Me personally, I grew up, you know, understanding the Electoral College. I grew up understanding, what the voting process was about. And I've spent even more time as an adult coming to a good understanding of what it actually is. And it's all a show. You guys should know that by now. And I'm not telling y'all don't vote, but I'm saying do some research on your own about the political process, and you'll find that there's no such thing as elections. There's a such thing as selections. You know, presidents are selected. Barack Obama was selected. You know, a lot of these presidents are selected by the people who truly run this country, like the billionaires that are now, you know, that own a lot of these basketball teams, that own a lot of these private organizations, you know, and I don't want to go too deep into it, but when you hear Obama, it's so funny. It's all a joke, man. It's such a joke. They use these words, we need to invest in our infrastructure. We need to invest in our kids' futures, invest in education, and you know what I'm saying? Have you heard Obama talking that crap, right?
Yeah, all the time.
Do you guys know what that means? When he says we need to invest in the infrastructure, listen, all that means is we need to give money to the people who gave money to my campaign 8 years ago, you know, 4 years ago. You know, to this day, you know, my buddies over in, you know what I'm saying, in construction, my buddies in, you know, in these other, in the private sector, you know, the 2%, the people who have the billions, right, who control these private schools, who control, you know, who have the influence, you know, let's give some money to them so that they can, you know, build a new facility. They can build a new library. It's all about giving back. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. They don't, you do, I mean, Courtney, let's just be honest. Do you really think that Barack Obama or any president, see, the problem, one of the problems is people think that Obama is different from other presidents when he's no different. The office of the presidency is no different. It stays the same. When you were a president, you do certain things. You owe certain favors to certain people. You do, that's just what you do. You play your role. You know, so he's not done anything differently than George Bush or anybody else. In fact, he's probably historically been a little bit worse. You know, a lot of people don't know. I've been watching the new season of 24, which I'm super excited about. A lot of people, there's a storyline on there that, and Courtney's just a psycho. She hasn't even begun to get caught up. But don't, we'll talk about her later on that. But there's a storyline on there that talks about drones. You know, and it's funny that what's actually going on out there is that people don't understand that Obama, but just the government, the United States government as a whole, we're actually viewed as terrorists around the world. A lot of people don't realize that when you think of terrorists and you think of, like, you know, people from other countries, the Middle East or whatever, but what you got to realize is we have more drones killing innocent children, innocent civilians all over the world. You know, I have a buddy who's actually from Pakistan. You know what I'm saying? He actually grew up in Pakistan. He tells, we talk, you know, and he's like, yo, imagine just chilling and, like, you know, you get a missile coming out of nowhere. You get, you know, CIA operatives assassinating somebody that lives not too far from you. You see grenades going off, you know, you see all types of crazy stuff happening from this government. All in the name of terrorism, and, you know, oh, yeah, we're trying to do this, or we have this drone strike, we're just going to launch. Oh, yeah, so what? It killed 5 kids, but, you know, we got one of the bad guys. So that's anyway, you guys get it. What president in the country has the record for killing the most innocent children, Courtney?
I would say Obama.
Barack Obama has the all-time record. He's killed more innocent children through drone strikes than George Bush, than his father, you know, any president in the history of the United States. Obama's his, you know what I'm saying, more innocent civilians, but specifically children. Yet we need to invest in our children. And so I'm just saying, guys, and I don't want to, you know, make this about Obama, but it's, you know, I guess I say all that to go back, going back to Stacey Dash. A lot of people might hate on me. They say, well, now she's a Republican. She doesn't support Democrats. But guess what? I'm not a Republican. But if I was anything, to be honest with you, it would be Republican if I participated. You know what I'm saying? If I was into that type of thing. Because as a Christian, you know, you really got to look at, let's see, the problem is a lot of people don't know what Democrats represent. You know what I'm saying? If you guys are unfamiliar, you know, Republicans historically have been conservative, and Democrats have been liberal. Liberal means, you know, supporting things like abortion, supporting things like homosexuality, you know, supporting, you know, having more liberal views on things that are not of God. You know, Republicans are more, you know, it's all BS, you know, it's all made up, but I'm saying just as far as their platform goes, you know, more traditional, according to the word. You know, I mean, that's, if you support abortion, if you support homosexuality, you're going to jeopardize your conservative base if you're a Republican. You know, Democrats, that's what you have to do. If you can't be a Democrat but not support abortion. You can't be a Democrat but not support homosexuality. Well, what does God think about that, Courtney?
Oh, he doesn't like that. God does not like that at all.
Right. So then the question then becomes, why are so many Christians classifying themselves as Democratic? What's the appeal about being a Democrat, Courtney?
I just think it's out of ignorance and just thinking that it's just better and that they get to keep more money in their pocket if they're a Democrat.
Ah, that's what it is. Now you're touching on it. It's the perception that you get to keep more money in your pocket, but even that is a lie. Even that's all marketing. That's not really the case. You know, that's all, you know, just perception. I mean, you really do the numbers. I mean, is your paycheck really any better that, you know, now that Obama's in office? I'm self-employed, but so it doesn't really make a difference to me one way or the other. But you see what I'm saying? I know y'all weren't complaining too much about Bush when y'all got those stimulus checks. Remember those stimulus checks, Courtney?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was complaining about that. You know, I don't remember any stimulus checks with Obama passing out. But I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying? Let Obama come out with some stimulus checks. You get, you know what I'm saying, you check what your last name starts with and check your mail or whatever, and you end up getting a $700 check just for nothing. You know what I'm saying? Shoot. That's more money than half most people get in their whole check. But it is, but no, but so I guess what I'm saying is these are all things that Stacey Dash has spoken out about. I'm not saying anything that, you know, aside from what she said. I mean, she was just expressing her opinion on Mitt Romney, and now all she's doing is, you know, speaking publicly. She's getting paid to speak publicly about stuff she's been talking about for the last couple of years. So, but, you know, my thing is, should you have to be labeled an Uncle Tom, a token, a sellout? You know, these are things that, you know what I'm saying? This is her prerogative. I don't think she's a sellout just because she chooses to not drink the Kool-Aid. And, you know, now, do I agree with everything that Fox News says? I mean, no. Do I agree with everything NBC or anybody says? No, I mean, it's all lies anyway, you know, regardless of who's saying it. But what I would say is that don't allow someone to dictate, you know what I'm saying, who you support or, you know what I mean, how you feel about a certain issue just because it's not politically correct. You know, don't just, you know what I'm saying, like Barack Obama has become politically correct. If someone speaks outside of him, then he's a hater. Then he's a sellout. Why? A lot of people don't even know what Obama represents. A lot of people don't even know Obama's real name. So it's one of those things we just got to start, you know, digging in and doing some research on. Most people don't even know. Most people have never even watched Fox News. That's the funniest thing about it. People who have a problem with Fox News have never even watched Fox News. Can you believe that, Courtney?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Like, if I posted right now, okay, who do you support Fox News? 90% of people would say no. I say, okay, well, what views about Fox News specifically do you have an issue with? Then I bet you I can guarantee, I've been doing this a long time, I guarantee you 90% of people would not even respond to that question because they don't know. They have no idea whatsoever what lies or what is racist that's been said about Fox, that's been said by Fox News. You know what I mean? Which I find to be interesting. So if you're, and I say all that to say, just to wrap that up, if you're going to have a problem with someone like Stacey Dash, if you have a problem with Fox News, with Bill O'Reilly, you know, I respect Bill O'Reilly. In fact, I respect anybody. I don't necessarily agree with Bill O'Reilly, but I respect Bill O'Reilly because he has the balls to step up and say what's on his mind and go against the grain. There are very few people out here in media, any form of media, who do that. I'm one of them. You guys know I speak my mind. You know, you look at Bill O'Reilly, he speaks his mind. You look at, that's what I'm saying. I can't even think of anybody else. There are very few people who actually will step up and speak out against Beyonce and Time Magazine saying she's one of the most influential, you know, women in the world. You know what I'm saying? There are very few people who will do that. And we need to, you know, if nothing else, you know, educate ourselves on what's actually being said so we can speak intelligently on it. So there's that. But I think the ultimate, the main problem, though, is because she's beautiful. I mean, I think that's, aside from everything else, you see a lot of people hating because she is a beautiful woman. Is that something you can agree with?
Yes. Well, I was thinking about this because I said, like, a couple of weeks ago, I saw this video that was posted about her. It was like, the title, I'm paraphrasing it, but it was something like the reasons black people stopped supporting Stacey Dash or whatever. And it was like a compilation of like clips of her and her views. And so then it went from her political views to her personal life and what she did in her personal life. And I was like, wow, like, why are they going so like hard on her? Then you look at the thread and all these women were just attacking her and calling her all kinds of names. And I was thinking about it the other day because I knew we were doing the show. I'm like, well, what's the problem? She has her own views and, you know, she's not the only black Republican. You know, not the only black celebrity Republican, so what's the issue? And I had to come to the conclusion, it's because she's pretty. But that it shouldn't be like that, though. Like, why would you hate on somebody because they're beautiful?
Well, because you're not beautiful. That's the main reason.
Right, I guess, yeah, but I don't know. I guess because I don't feel that way, that's why I was kind of, like, speechless a little bit.
Yeah, well, I shouldn't say that. It's not even so much that if you're not beautiful. It's if you're not beautiful on the inside and confident with what you bring to the table. Because, I mean, I don't care if you look like Gabourey Sidibe. You know, you can still be beautiful. You know, you can still have a high level of self-confidence and say, you know what, I'm not going to hate on her. She is a beautiful girl. And just leave it at that. But when you don't love yourself or when you are doubting yourself and God's purpose for you, then you're going to have a tendency to, you know, hate on, you know, other individuals who appear to be desired by men. If you don't feel like you're desired by men, then you see someone who's desired by men, then that's going to be, you know, an issue for you. So, you know, it kind of is what it is. But I would just encourage everybody, and I don't care how you feel, but at least be intelligent about it. At least educate yourself. You know, when we talked about Trayvon Martin, 90% of the people who were talking about Trayvon Martin didn't even watch the trial. They weren't even familiar with the facts. That's why I'm just like, yo, like, are you, like, slow? Or, you know what I mean? Like, I just don't, how can you discuss something? How can you be passionate about something when you don't even know what was said? You know, so, or you know what I'm saying? What the facts are. Not what the media says, but what the actual facts are, which can only be found from looking at the, you know, watching the trial, which most people didn't even do. So there's that. Anything else you want to say about Stacey Dash or that whole situation?
No. Well, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, I respect the fact that she has her own opinion, and she's not like everyone else that's just like Dan Wagner's and, you know, with the whole Obama administration and all of that stuff. I mean, I do respect that about her. So, yeah, I mean, I'm one of those people that just didn't have an issue with her signing on with Fox News. I mean, that wasn't a big deal to me. So I really just think people just need to check themselves. Like, if you really had a problem with that, it's not that serious.
Well, yeah, it's not that serious, but then what is serious is that people will support the foolishness. You know, it's like, okay, you have a problem with Stacey Dash being on an actual news station, but you sit up there and watch The Have and The Have-Nots. You support Love and Hip Hop. You know, you watch all this foolishness that's called reality television, and then you wonder why, you know, these shows don't go away and they just keep spreading and spreading and spreading. Those, you know, you listen to music like Partition that encourages little girls to, you know, have oral sex, you know, and get their freak on, you know, that type of stuff. That's not, you know, you can't do that. You know, that's not benefiting the black community. Stacey Dash is not hurting the black community. Now, if she was, and I've listened to her interviews, like I did some research on her. You know, she says some stuff, and I haven't heard her say anything that was, like, off the wall that was crazy, you know? Nothing that, I mean, and that's the thing. Even if you ask someone, like, well, all right, well, what exactly did she say that you disagree with? Nobody, there's not a person out there who will be able to answer that question. You know, that has a problem with Stacey. That no one will ever be able to tell you, well, why? That's like someone, like, why do you dislike LeBron? You know, I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Have no, why do you dislike Kobe? I don't like his attitude. Well, what about his attitude? Exactly. So, what is what it is? It is what it is. No, I mean, some people, but then again, some people will tell you, like Courtney, I remember last year, she said she admitted that she was a hater. You know what I mean? So, we've talked about that. So, we don't, you know what I mean? But other people will actually deny that they're a hater and actually try to come up with some type of foolishness as to why they dislike the person, which is a waste of time. But anyway, let's keep that moving, man. Keeping it real fire. So, you know, I only wanted to talk about, you know, that for that reason, you know, because you guys asked me to, and it's in the news. But I have no problem with Stacey Dash. In fact, most men have no problem with Stacey Dash, which is why a lot of women have a problem with Stacey Dash. But why are you laughing, Courtney? Keep it real. Did you used to hate on?
No, I never did. No.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you did. Come on, Courtney. Who did you have a problem with? Who did
no,
you hate
on? Not anyone
back
I
in
can
the day.
Think of.
Talk back in the day.
I can't think of. I know I did hate on someone, but not her. I can't think of anybody like right now, but she wasn't one of the people.
Did you hate on Maya? Maya is also another one of
oh,
those.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
I knew you
I
were
couldn't
one of them.
See, I told you, I just couldn't remember. Yeah, she was one of them, but it was only because, you know, all the guys at the time, like, they couldn't stop talking about Maya. Like, every guy I came into contact with, Maya, 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 like, her legs and how pretty she was. And, you know, I was dealing with some self-esteem issues, so I felt some type of way about it. Yeah.
I even had a woman email me a couple of years ago, because Maya used to, like, when I was growing up, you know, when I was around that age where we used to, you know, do that, and we had the celebrity top 10 list and then the real life top 10 list. I mean, see, I got to realize men do this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is what's entertaining to us. Like, when we get together, sit in the man cave and, you know, chop it up, talk about some stuff. I mean, we're talking about a lot of different things, and women will most likely be one of them. Not in a disrespectful way, but just, you know, that's just what men do. And, you know, back in the day, I mean, she's probably, like you said, Courtney, you're from a totally different part of the country than I, and you said men were all talking about Maya. Well, that's how it was here in Philly. That's how it was everywhere. Maya is one of those, she's probably one of those top five staples, you know, that will not be removed from that people's permanent top 10 list. And, you know, people need to accept that. You know, it's not about doubting yourself. It's like, all right, well, look, I mean, it's like the men, Shamar Moore. You think of attractive men. You got your Denzel Washington. We'll go down in history. You know, Shamar Moore, Morris Chestnut, you know, Boris Cujo. I mean, whoever else you want to add to the list, I feel no type of way about any of those guys. Like, I'm not going to hate on them. I'm not going to, you know, because I'm confident in myself. So when you're confident in yourself, you don't have to hate on others. And so that's, you know, that's just what that is. And, you know, don't hate. Congratulate, for lack of a better term. And, you know, it is with people, you know, I mean, we just live in a sad state of society, man. A lot of haters. Guys out here hating, you know, women out here hating. It's never been in me. You know, I try to show love to people. I try to, you know, support when I can, you know what I mean? But it's a lot of negativity, man. People want to talk about the black community. Oh, Stacey Dash went over to the white community. Well, I've experienced more love from the white community than I've experienced from the black community. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the crazy thing about it. I get more hate from my own people, you know, than anything. So it is what it is, man. It's just, but, Shall we talk about these emotional availability pop quizzes?
Yes, yes. One
guys, as I mentioned earlier, we, you know, over the last several weeks, we've been doing, you know, some pop quizzes. You know, what is a pop quiz? Well, when you're doing a you know, you have a curriculum that you follow. You know, you're giving information. You're trying to get people to learn certain things. You know, it's always good to test, you know, how far you've come, how far you still have to go. So over the year, over the next, you know, over the months, we will continue to throw out quizzes that will challenge you as far as how you will respond to certain situations, certain people, and, you know, just to see where you stand. And there were a number of them today that I thought were over the last week that I wanted to discuss. Three, in fact. I think there might have been four, but I think I might be missing one. But anyway, we'll start with one. Here's a good one. Where is it? Here it is. All right. You're out on a date, Courtney. I'm going to use you as the guinea pig. And listen up, ladies. These are important. These are important. You know, little situations here, and you got to listen carefully because you know I word them. You know, like I said, a specific way. You are out on a date, okay, with a very nice guy. You're not sure if he's the man that God has for you or not, but you have a date with him nonetheless. The bill comes, and it's somewhere around $60. What do you do?
So I'm going to give you my answer, not the correct one. I'm going to tell you what I said. So what I said for that one is that I would pay the bill, and I would just pray and ask God for discernment in regards to, is this someone that I need to be dealing with? That's
what
heck? I said.
What the heck?
Yeah, that was my response. That was my response. Because I was looking like, oh, yeah, you know, the bill comes. Yeah, you know, if you want to differentiate yourself, you know, you have to show who you are. I mean, show that you're different from other women to see who he is. That's where I was. That was my, you know, justification and why I answered the way I did.
So what's the correct answer?
Answer would be it really doesn't matter whether or not you pay or not, because if you're confused in any type of way, then that should tell you right then that that's not the person that God has for you, because God is not a God of confusion.
Exactly.
So no need to think about it. No need to pay for the date and then pray about it. You don't have to do all of that. The answer is right there.
Right, exactly. This is what we want to talk about with this one. Here's the thing, and I'm going to break it down just from the first sentence of this one. You're out on a date with a nice guy. You know, this is Friday night. There's a lot of dates going on out here. One thing y'all got to realize is that you don't need to be dating anyone. You don't need to just be randomly dating. You don't need to just be, like, if somebody asks you out, a nice guy, oh, he's nice, let me just go out with him. You don't have to go out. You shouldn't be going out. The only dates that you want to be going out on is with someone who you deem to be, a true man of God, someone who's on fire for God, someone who you can see yourself having some type of future with. Somebody says, well, isn't that what the date is for? Date on, house, yes, or no, there's a lot of ways that you know be prior to the date even getting started. You know if somebody's on fire for God based on how you meet them. You know if somebody is on fire for God after one conversation with them. You know, certainly two conversations leading up to a date. And a lot of times, you know, women, and many men, but specifically women in this situation, will not be on fire for, one, they won't be on fire for God themselves, but then two, they will overlook the fact that particular man is not on fire for God just because they want to go out on a date, just because they want to find themselves, you know, doing something on a Friday night. So that's the first thing. Stop going out with these nice guys. Just go out with someone who is, you know, who you could actually see yourself having a future with. That's the first thing. Two, it says you're not really sure if he's the man that God has for you, but you have a nice date nonetheless. Just because you go out on a date and you have a nice time doesn't necessarily mean that it's a good thing that you should continue doing. You can go out, and most likely will go out, and have a nice time with these guys. You see what I'm saying? Like, Courtney, you could meet somebody tonight. And so he says, hey, I want to take you out to dinner. I was like, okay, you go out to dinner. And you have a nice time. Does that mean that, you know, you should go out with him again and continue dating him and ultimately marry him?
No.
Right. Right. There's specific things that you have to look for, you know, in a man. There's specific things that, you know, if you don't see, you don't want to be wasting your time. So don't look for a nice time. Look for a true man of God. You know, look for those qualities in him. Let's see. So, but like Courtney said, and basically what I said earlier, you know, on the thread over in the friends group was, if you're not sure, he ain't the one. Go find me any happily married man. Okay, go find me any happily married man that you know or have come across, and I can guarantee you that man will tell you from the moment he met her, he was sure she was going to be the one. Okay, trust me on that. Now, a man who's on fire for God, a man who's married to the woman that God has for him, he was sure relatively early. So if you're saying you're dealing with a man and you're not sure, well, then you got to ask yourself, well, why are you not sure? Well, if you're not sure, then most likely he's either doing something or not doing something that's making you unsure, which is a sign that that's probably not the man that God has for you. So look at it from that perspective. Then you have – so now – and I this is why I threw the curveball in there. That's really all there is to it right after those two sentences. But I threw the curveball in there because you guys listen to the show. You guys are – you know, many of you got my two-disc CD, What Women Need to Know But Don't Want to Hear, and have heard, you know, what – paying the importance of differentiation. You know about, you know, how, you know, various ways to do that. You know, one of those ways being, you know, paying for the first date. So a lot of women, they see bill, like, oh, I got to pay. No. Pay for what? You know what I'm saying? What are you paying for? See, a lot of times people need to look at it from, you want to be smart about it. You know, if you, like, remember that scene, Courtney, in Pursuit of Happiness where Will Smith had, like, no money? He had, like, 10 bucks to his name, like 7 bucks, and his boss was like, yo, hey, you know, give me 5 bucks real quick. I'll give it back to you. And he kind of stuttered. He stopped and was like, hey, look at his wife. Like, yo, this is, like, all I have for me and my son to survive. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
That was a sacrifice for Will Smith at that time, one of my favorite movies of all time. But he gave him that $5 because he wanted to differentiate himself. He wanted to show himself to be reliable. He wanted something. He needed something from that man, from that his boss. So he gave him that $5. That was an investment in his future. And for him, it ended up paying off. Chris Gardner, shout out to him. It paid off. See, a lot of women aren't looking at that as an investment. They're not looking at paying for a date as an investment. They're looking at it as, you know, the start of being taken advantage of. When that, you got to get that out of your mind. It's not about being taken advantage of. It's about investing. But that's only applicable. Okay, that's only applicable when you're dealing with a true man of God. That's only applicable when you're dealing with someone who sees the future with you. It's only applicable when you want, actually care about how you're going to be viewed by that man. If those things aren't the case, then it doesn't matter. There's no need to pay for a date. There's no need to do anything. Now, if you want to just do it just to be nice, I mean, you know, go ahead, but it's not really going to do anything. There's no point. Because if you're dealing with a man that, you know, that God doesn't have for you, is there a point of even dating him, or do you even care what he thinks about you, Courtney?
No.
It doesn't even matter. So there's that. But, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, the whole monetary aspect of it is irrelevant. I don't care if the bill was $20, $60, $100. I mean, it's no point in paying for it. I mean, it doesn't matter whether you pay or not. It's about, you know, how you proceed after that. You know, if you're not sure it's not the man for you, then you need to just keep it moving, all right? And then and self-reflect on why you've attracted that man, you know, to begin with. So there's that. What else? We had another really good one. What we got here? The second one, I think this was from like Monday or Tuesday. We have one that says, Courtney, you meet a man, putting you back in the hot seat. You meet a man who you really like and could possibly see a future with. Okay? He has a very busy work schedule, so his dating and phone time is very limited. In fact, the only real contact that you have with him is via text and Facebook. After a few weeks, he asks if you want to hang out. How do you proceed, Courtney? I mean, what's going on here? What are the red flags, or are there any red flags that you see here?
Yes, there are red flags. It's not even the fact that he has a busy schedule. That's not the red flag, but it's the fact that when he does contact me, it's via text or Facebook. So my thing is, it's no matter, you know, what your schedule is, if a man is just, if he's interested in you, he's going to pick up the phone and call you. There's going to be real conversation. And then in addition to that, when that man does reach out to you, it's not going to be, let's hang out. I've had that before, hang out, not let me take you out or anything like that. Hang out to me translates to, you know, let's smash one day. Like, that's what that is said to me. So for me, it's a wrap. Like, there's nothing happening after that.
Right. And that's where you got to really get back to what you're looking for, got to get back to, you know, how you want to be viewed. Because a lot of times, you know, you find yourself in a state of depression, state of loneliness, where you are willing to settle for less than you want to deserve. You know, you don't necessarily want to be in the house. You don't necessarily want to, you know, just hang out with the girlfriends. So you end up, you know, going out on one of these meaningless dates, and, you know, you end up finding yourself in a bad situation, compromising your emotional availability just for the sake of loneliness. You're making excuses. You're overlooking red flags. The red flag is that, you know, I mean, like Courtney said, it's not that he works a lot, because, I mean, a lot of people have a busy work schedule. I have a busy work schedule. And, you know, and a lot of people's dating and phone time is limited. So you have to be respectful of that. But, you know, if when he, the only time he contacts you is when you, you know, are on Facebook, IM, you know, or text, that basically is telling you he doesn't really want to get to know you on that intimate level. He wants to know about you. He wants to know when he can see you. You know, he wants to, like you said, Courtney, he wants to smash. You know, he wants, you know what I'm saying? That's what he wants to do. And if, you know, if that's, see, a lot of women they're not familiar with the signs to recognize when a man just wants to have sex with you, when a man just wants to hit it from the back one good time and never call you again. A lot of women don't understand that that's how they're being viewed, that's how they're being targeted. But there are very distinct signs that will indicate, hey, look, this is how you're being viewed. The texting, the lack of contact is definitely one of those, you know, those signs, those symptoms. What else we got here? I mean, is there anything else we need to add to that?
No, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, I was going to say that I experienced that before with someone who just texted me just all the time. That's the only form of contact it was, just text. And it was always at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning after
what
we met
out.
I met him at the club. It was like I met him at the club. And then, you know, we would talk via text, like, over the week. And then the following weekend, he was at the club again. And at 1:30, he texted me talking about, what you doing? What you think I'm doing? I'm asleep. But I knew that at that point, it was like, you know what, he just wants sex from me. And I knew that from the beginning, but I just, you know, finally faced the facts. And, it ended right there.
One of the things that I used to do was, See, a lot of these guys out here are weirdos. They just pay just to pay. There's, like, no reason to even, you know, take these women out. Like, I did the same thing. I would go to the club, and let's say I would meet somebody at the club. So it's like, okay, they go out, like, on a regular basis, you know, and so I may get their number, talk, text throughout the week or whatever, and then, you know, and the next weekend will go come around. Well, I'm not going to alter. I think a lot of women, they meet you, and then they all of a sudden expect you to alter your life, alter your plans just because you met them. It's like, no, I met you in the club. So why would I stop going to the club just because I'm, you know, I met you? No, I'm not going to stop going to the club. I just met you last week. No, we're going back to the club next week, you know what I mean? Like, to meet more women just like I met you. And I think that, you know, so, and women were probably doing the same thing. They went to the club, met me. All right, meet them the next week, you know what I mean? Or see them out in the same club with the same girlfriends, giving their number out to somebody else. So when you, as men, live that type of lifestyle, you know, we see the routine. So it's like, all right, well, you go out on a regular basis, or even throughout the week, you're talking, you're texting, like, all right, what you get into this week? We probably go out to this club or this party. So it's like, we know you're out. So obviously we're not going to be taking you seriously. We're not going to try to wife you up. So obviously if it's not about wifing you up, Courtney, what's it about?
Having sex, that's it.
Right. So if I'm out, and in my mind I have a logical, you know, reason to believe that you would be out also, and the whole point of the interaction is most likely at that point sex, why wouldn't I call you? You know what I mean? Like, that's just, that would be common sense to text you around too. Like, oh, yo, what's up? Where you at? What let out? Y'all playing? How many numbers did you get? You know, nobody's going to say that, but like, yo, what y'all doing right now? And that's the funny thing. We would always switch it. We always make it plural. Like, yo, what y'all about to get into? You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be like, what's up with you? Are you coming up? Like, yo, where y'all at? You know, I don't know. We
out here.
Like we're going to get together and have some type of big orgy or something. Nah, it's like, what are you doing? So, like, yeah, where y'all at? What club y'all going to? And so they're like, oh, no, we're over here. Like, okay. Well, yeah, we're here. So, yeah, y'all should come through. Y'all should come. And that's, let me just give y'all another trick of the trade. See, and this, a lot of guys don't know about this. Fellas, when you go out, I mean, this is what you're doing, this is what you're into. You don't have to pay money for a date. Like, if this is what happens, I'm going to be honest with y'all. A lot of times you end up dealing with a woman, you know, who is one of many. So if, let's say I go out and I get five numbers. So I've met five new women. Let's just say that's on a low end. But let's just say, because we're talking about going out Thursday, Friday, Saturday in many cases. So that's a lot of numbers over the course of 3 days. You know, not for somebody like, you know, these weirdos out here, but you know what I mean? But if you knew what you were doing, if you're going out 3 days, you're coming home with at least seven, eight numbers minimum over the course of 3 days. So that's a lot of women. Courtney, if you're a man, you know, are you going to take out on actual dates eight women?
No.
Of course not. So, ladies, you have to understand, how are these men determining who actually gets phone conversations? How are they determining who actually gets taken out versus who just gets met up with at the club? See, because there were some women I'd be like, all right, wow, and the fellas know. Ladies, sometimes we could get seven numbers. There have been times I've gotten like as many as 10 numbers in one night, okay? Some of those numbers I would just throw away, not even call, you know, delete out the phone as soon as the night was over because I just knew I wasn't really excited. But there was that one woman out of that 10 who you knew, all right, this could maybe be something. This is a special one. She's a respectable one. She's a classy one, you know, and so that's, you know, that's kind of how it was. You know, we would have that one. So those would be the one that we would actually not call that night or not call that night, you know what I'm saying, or not text that night, actually wait until a decent, respectable hour on Sunday evening and call. The other women, the hoes, it was just like, yo, what's up? What, you know, it was nice meeting. Where y'all at now? What you trying to get into tonight? Some of these hoes out here. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, when I say hoes, I mean actual hoes. You know, I would say, you know, get the number. Yeah, so they would say, well, don't take it if you're not going to use it. You ever said something stupid like that, Courtney?
Yes.
I mean, that's like the stupidest thing a woman could possibly say. Why? What made you say that?
It was kind of a way to beg him to call me.
Right.
In a way, yeah.
Right. That's basically what it is. You're begging him to call. You know, it's like, yeah, now don't take it if you're not. Like, and then he'd be like, yo, call me. Wait, call me, bro. Here's my number. But here, dial my number right now so I have your number. I'm like, yo, chill. Relax. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, yo, I don't really want to call you right now. Like, no, call me right now. So I make sure. I want to make sure that, you know, you gonna call. I'm like, okay. You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. When you do those types of things, it sets the tone. Like, all right, she's pressed, so I could get her where I want her. But what I'm saying is, some women we'd actually be excited, and some women we'd actually be like, all right, cool. I'm gonna go ahead and take her out on an actual date. Whereas other women, I would meet up with at the club, like just to have that FaceTime, just to get that dance in real quick. You know, like, all right, I'm gonna meet up with you at, you know, at this club. We'll all be here, and that way, that was the date. You know, can you believe that, Courtney? Like, it's like, what could be better? Like, what could be better? You get the number. You may have one conversation with him. You know, you want to see him, so it's like, all right, I'm gonna come up with you at I'll meet up with you on Saturday. See you Saturday night. So you know. I'll be there with my homies, you'll be there with your girlfriends. I'll get a chance to see you. Put that FaceTime in. A lot of women look at seeing someone 3-4 weekends in a row. That's like dating, so they feel comfortable having sex with you. That first time, you say, hey, look, why don't you come see me? Can you believe that, Courtney?
Yeah, I can.
You know, but it's real out here. That's basically how real it is. They're like, wow, I feel like I know you. I see you, and not spent one dime. How many women out there had sex with a man? He never spent one dime on you. You ever notice that he didn't? You ever notice he didn't spend not one dime? He never, no dates, no nothing. That's crazy. No, and that's, I mean, I'm just saying it's real. A lot of women are pissed off at me right now because I'm taking them back. But we got to go back in order to go forward. You like that, right? You got to go back in order to go forward. You got to self-reflect on where you've been so you can understand the mistakes and, you know, what not to do. A lot of women are like, dang, well, now I think about it, dang, I just kind of went to his crib one night, and it just ended up happening after he gave me that massage. That wasn't actually a date, now that I think about it. But, yeah. So I say all that to say, understanding what is, how it looks, what it looks like when a man is not really feeling you, when a man is not viewing you in that way, is essential to being found by someone who will view you in that way. That way you know what it is. Okay, you guys have to understand it and look at it from that perspective. So there's that. What else? So I think we've exhausted that one. Hopefully you guys, learned something from that one. It's not about hanging out. Okay, if a man asks you to hang out, he wants to smash. If a man says, I'd like to take you out, I'd like to spend some time with you, most likely that means he'd like to actually do something fun with you, build some type of memory, romance you, have some type of intimacy. So that's what's most important there. What else? So hopefully you guys did well on that. If you didn't, see me after class. And after class is after the show, which means schedule that emotional. And that's what these are all for. I want you guys to be clear. Even if you don't participate, I know there are a whole heck of a lot more people who listen to the show and who, you know, see these posts even in the group. You know, if you didn't do as well as you wanted to do, or your answer would not have matched mine, you know, you might want to just reach out and say, wow, you know, let me get some clarity. Let's set up a free consultation to see, you know, what needs to be done. So there's that. The last one that we'll do tonight, and I think this is the last one that we needed to go over, but you've been talking to a guy for a few weeks now, okay? Listen to the wording. You've been talking to a guy for a few weeks, and you really like him. He's a Christian, and he goes to church on a regular basis. The only issue is that you recently found out that he used to be friends with someone who you used to have a casual sexual relationship with a few years ago. Do you continue talking to this guy, or do you break things off? And I'm forgetting one, too. There was another one about the relationship with Guy. Remember that one?
Not off the top of my head.
I know what it is. I got to find it, though. But, yeah, it's in the group. But, yeah, we'll talk about it right after this real quick because I don't want to forget. I knew I was forgetting one. It was about the one where I said he goes to, he's spiritual but not religious, that one.
Oh,
you know, okay. I wanted, but, yeah, that's the one you avoided. But we'll talk about that one another time. We'll talk about your role in that one another time. You know, we'll talk about the question tonight, but your role, we'll talk about that separately. Okay. So you found out, what was your answer to this one? You've been talking to him, you really like him, he's a Christian, has a job, has no kids, but you used to be the jump off. You used to get it in on Friday nights back in the day when you were in your wild days with someone who you did not know even knew this person. What does that mean? What do you do?
I ended right there with the guy because he's not taking me seriously anyways. I mean, because he was friends with somebody I had sex with. Therefore, he knows about me. Like, I wouldn't even have to tell him anything because he already knows, and he's not taking me seriously. Like, no man is going to do that. They're not going to take a woman seriously, you know, if it's like somebody their friend slept with or anything like that. So, yeah, that's a wrap.
Right. That's the key. I think somebody on the thread, she said that it would not be a big deal. You know, it would, you know, that was a long time ago. See, that's a typical woman response in these situations. It has nothing to do with the time frame. It has to do with the fact that it happened. You know, if you've dealt with somebody, you got to understand that these men are going to be talking about that. These men are going to, men talk. That's not something that these men are going to forget. That's not something that these men are not going to talk about together. You know what I'm saying? If you smash the homie, you know, these guys are going to be like, oh, did you know so-and-so, or I'm dealing with so-and-so, and da-da-da-da-da. Like, this is what happened, this is what went down, or she's a freak, or she's a good girl. Like, whatever it was, it's going to be discussed. Men are going to do their homework. And if something is revealed that would disqualify you from being viewed as the woman that they want to have a future with, you would be wise as a woman to just walk away and remove yourself from the situation. Otherwise, you're going to, you know what I'm saying? It's just a waste of time. Understand, a man is not going to wife you up if his homie has seen you naked. I'm having a hard time thinking, like, why would anyone think anything different? Like, why would you guys think that a man would be cool with that? What do you think, Courtney?
I have something to share about that. Because I know someone who actually did that. Like, they were talking to this guy, and, you know, they found out that, you know, one of his friends or whatever, she realized she slept with one of his friends, like, back in the day. Actually, it was one of his frat brothers. And she actually told him, and she told him what happened, said, you know, before we move forward, I want to let you know that, you know, I slept with such and such or whatever. And so he told her, he said, well, you know, that's not really a big deal because it was in the past, right? So they end up getting into a relationship, and they've been in this extended relationship for the last 5-6 years, and he's been cheating on her. So it's nothing serious can come. The point of that story was to say that nothing serious, you know, would come of that, and you see that he wasn't taking her seriously from the beginning, even though she got wiped up, and that still doesn't mean anything.
Right. See, and I think we even spent a little bit of time talking about this last week. It's not all about getting wifed up. You know, it's actually more important to get wifed up by the man that God has for you, because if somebody wipes you up, meaning they get into a relationship with you, it may even marry you. You know, marriage is not the goal. It's marriage with the man that God has for you, because if anything outside of that, he's going to be playing you. You know, and so you want to make sure that he's actually viewing you in that special manner from the beginning, okay? So, you never want to – don't allow yourself to be somebody's hoe, somebody's jump off, somebody's freak, somebody's late-night booty call. You know what I mean? Just be that woman that he's excited about. Be that woman that he can't wait to tell his homies about. Not like, oh, yeah, I hit that. Yo, she had a fat booty. No, I'm talking about be excited to talk about and say, I can't wait to see her. I can't wait to spend the rest of my life with her. You know, like, I'm excited about seeing, you know, those types of situations. We don't get excited about sex, ladies. We get excited about women who we don't have sex with. Let that marinate a little bit. Let that marinate. Did you know that growing up, Court?
No, I didn't. Not coming up, I didn't. Thought you had to do something to be taken seriously.
Mm. So you thought you had to give him something to be taken seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
That's crazy. You got to not give him something to be taken seriously. That's the new thing. You know, a lot of women, guys out here talking about the cookie. You know what I'm saying? They think that that's something special. That's nothing. The women who don't give it up are the ones that are special. The ones who are actually celibate, those are the ones that are special. Those are the ones that are desirable. The ones who don't have the weave in their head, the ones who don't have the fake contacts in their eyes, the fake weaves and, you know, all that stuff. You know, those are the ones that are special. You know, the women who are wifey as opposed to the Friday night. So it is what it is. That last one, though, and I'll just do a brief synopsis because I wasn't able to, I didn't feel like looking for it, but there was one question that we asked in the group, a pop quiz, pertaining to a man's relationship with God. It was basically something to the effect of, you've been dealing with a guy, you talk to him, you have several long, you know, several hour conversations, but, you know, you ask him, you know, where do you worship? And he says, well, you know, I don't really, you know, go to church like that, but I'm spiritual. I have a relationship with God. You know, and I said, well, you know, after a couple more, you know, after that, you spend another couple hours on the phone talking about non-spiritual related issues, you know, what do you do after that? You know what I mean? Like, how do you, and a lot of women, they felt like that would not be a deal breaker. What did you feel about that? What's your thoughts?
To me, that is a deal breaker. That's like a huge deal breaker. Because I think, this is what I'll say. The deal breaker to me is the fact that the response that was given, because if I recall, it was something like, the guy's response was like, well, you don't have to go to church to, you know, have a relationship with God or something like that. And to me, like, it shouldn't be a thing where I have to ask questions for me, you know, to determine where you stand. That's something I feel that will already be known just in conversation. And then after that, for it to go into having conversation about spiritual, you know, conversations, basically worldly conversations, that just lets me know that is not the man that God has for me. So, yeah, it's no moving forward. It's no working with you or anything like that. We're just not equally yoked.
Yeah, here's the thing, guys. You know, you want to look at it from a perspective of, you know, someone who's truly being on fire for Christ. And do you have to, and this is one of the things that we probably could do a whole show on, but if you can go to church or not go to church, still genuinely love God. But what I'll say about that is, when you genuinely love God, you typically want to be in God's presence. You typically want to hear the word of God, you know, because you're going to be in the word, so you're going to want to hear a good, spirit-filled pastor discuss the word, you know, and break down the word. I'm not talking about these weirdos out here. I know there was a young woman in the group who was, saying that she was, very discouraged about how, you know, her church that she felt very comfortable with growing up, but then she found out that the pastor was, you know, doing some crazy stuff with, you know, molestation and, you know, different kind of stuff. And, you know, it unfortunately had caused her to lose faith in not only that church, but also churches as a whole. And so that's unfortunate. But one of the things that I'll say is that doesn't mean anything. You know, obviously that all that means is that just was not the church that God had for her. That was not the pastor that God had set forth to lead her. What you have to do is you have to find a church and find a pastor where you actually love going to church. See, that's the thing. I mean, let's be honest. Typically when you are not, you know, really going to church, I mean, and I'm not saying it can't happen, but a lot of times you're probably not, the relationship with God probably isn't, you know, as good as it could be. You know, and so you just want to make sure it's where you want it to be. You know, and when it's right, it's going to be right, and you're going to want to be in the Word of God, in the house of God. So there's that. But you also want to be careful. People are saying who are spiritual, you know, but not religious, because a lot of times that's a cop out. Not saying it has to be a cop out, but a lot of times it is a cop out. A lot of times that's not genuine. You know, I mean, spiritual could mean a lot of different things. Spiritual does not necessarily mean biblical. You could be a Buddhist and be spiritual. You could be a Hindu and be spiritual. You could be Muslim and, you know, practice Islam and be spiritual. That doesn't necessarily mean you're a follower of Christ. You could just call God all types of things, right? I mean, you could practice yoga, you know, and be spiritual. You know, you could be into some, you know, the, you know, all types of stuff, right? I mean, Courtney, you know what it means. Was there ever a time that you called yourself spiritual but weren't necessarily living life for God?
Yes, that was a time. But I was into a lot of different things, not Christianity. You know, like you said, yoga, all of that stuff. Because I wasn't really in church like that. I wasn't raised in the church.
Right. Well, and so it's just a matter of looking at it from a godly standpoint and really looking at what the Word says. You know, a lot of times it's very easy. The line of between sin and, you know, obedience is very thin sometimes. You just look at, you know, the Old Testament, you know, how a lot of people were so easily swayed, you know what I mean, by sin, you know, living for God one minute, next thing you know, you know, worshiping, you know, idols, worshiping golden calves, you know what I mean, weird stuff. So it's just one of those things that you really want to be, you don't want to settle. That's the last thing I'll say about it. If you want something and you want a certain type of man, don't let statistics, don't let past bad experiences, you know, dictate, you know, and determine who you will deal with and who you won't deal with. If you want someone, then deal with that type of woman. You know, deal with that type of man. Wait on that type of man. You know, do what you have to do to be found by that type of man. Don't just take whatever comes along because of a fear of being alone. A lot of times that fear of being alone will cause you to go on meaningless dates. It will cause you to overlook the fact that he doesn't go to church and ain't been to church in 3 years. But talking about something, he's spiritual. And you ask, well, where are you at in the Bible? Where are you at? Like, what chapter are you reading now? See what they say. It's like, you know what I mean? It's to look at you like you're crazy. So, it's what it is. I mean, no, seriously, try that. You know, because if they look at you weird, and they give you that weird look, that crazy look, then you know they ain't in no chapter in the Bible. You know what I'm saying? They ain't nowhere. Where are you? Some people don't even have Bibles. But, and I'm not knocking, because I didn't for a long time. But I'm just saying, you know, it's never too late to get that relationship right. And when the relationship is right, there are going to be things you stop doing, and there are going to be things that you become passionate about doing. And typically, going to church is one of them. Definitely, I can't stress enough, definitely we'll wrap it up tonight, but definitely make sure you guys tune into our upcoming special on the Ten Commandments. It's going to be crazy. Make sure y'all tune in to our special on next Sunday, a week from Sunday, we're going to be doing a special Osho and I, Between Brothers, the first ever, the first in our 10-year history. There's never been anything like this. There will never be anything like this ever again. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be crazy. Osho and I, we're just going to be talking about the Bible, but from an everyday standpoint, dating standpoint, relationship standpoint. And I promise you don't want to miss that show. But we'll be back live before then because we have a lot of good shows to generational curses. Generational curses. And you guys can tune in to check out the archives of the show. Me, Reverend Ann, we did, and Courtney, we did a couple of shows or a show on generational curses a few years ago. Very good show. We're going to revisit it. you know, 2 years later and go a little bit deeper about what the Word says about generational curses and how your sins will affect your children, how a lot of things you're going through are a result of, you know, your parents and things like that. So hopefully you guys enjoyed tonight. A lot of good things coming up. If you guys are excited about changing your life and upgrading your life to, you know, to be emotionally available so you can, you know, have that mountaintop love, so to speak, you know, shoot me an email, shoot Courtney an email, shoot Osho an email. We're all available to help you. info@trctoday.com. Call us 855-55-DATON. And, you know, and take that first step, free consultation. Right now, we've extended it this weekend. We were doing for Memorial Day a 50% off special that's still in effect. So get your free consultation. Whatever package you want to go with is half off. So thank you guys for spending your Friday night. You did the right thing tonight. I appreciate the love. I appreciate the support. Courtney, good job tonight. Don't be a psycho. And wish me, I won't say wish me luck, but I got to be up first thing in the morning. I got my second doubles match tomorrow, another doubles match on Sunday, and then the playoffs for my singles start the following week. So definitely say a prayer for me out there on those tennis courts. And we'll be back one day next week. But in the meantime, obviously tune in every day to some of those archive shows. Thank you guys for listening, and I will see y'all next time. Peace.
Great man who will treat you right, make you his sweet bride. Are you coming up empty out there? Caught your case of blues. I know a man who will pick you up. God will tell you the truth. Baby, you've lost your way again. Let him. Let Dayton be your motivation, child. Let Dayton overcome and rock your world. Let Dayton be your motivation, child. Let Dayton overmotivate you, girl. Let Dayton be your motivation, child. Let Dayton overcome and change your world. Don't ever let yourself settle for less. You don't have to be a fool. Call them up, let the tears fall. Little girl, don't be lost anymore. This brother has a master plan. Lean on his wisdom if you feel weak. I guarantee it will help you stand. Baby, you've lost your way again. Let and to be so strong. Work on your personality, and this will set you free. Date on be your motivation, child. Let date on total motivate you, girl. Let date on be your motivation, child. Let date on total come and rock your world. Let date on be your motivation, child. Let date on total motivate you, girl. Let date on be your motivation, child. Let date on total come and change your world.